That's one of the.
And what's amazing that during the time before the attack, you all felt that we're kind of in danger, and why aren't we doing more?
Why aren't we doing something? And I couldn't understand why we. That's what we're there for, right? Mm-hmm. To protect, to fight, and we weren't doing anything. It was just a jockstrap army. All they wanted to do is do boxing and play games and football and football and parties. At night, the officers would get all dressed up, you know, with their ladies, and they'd go to the balls, and that's all they were doing. It looked more like a place, a recreation.
It's hard to imagine then how our mindset changed after that, because that, you know, our military totally changed. But before that, it was, as you said, almost like a country club.
A country club. What is this, you know? But.
Well, let me ask you things. Were you able, when you were there, to communicate with your family? I mean, did you do letters to your parents or your mother?
For a week or so, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Later on, they were able to censor everything we sent. We didn't want them to know any what was going on there. So they would censor a lot of them. They'd block out a lot of stuff that we wrote. Especially like when I went to Christmas Island, and we arrived there on Christmas. It was under land lease, you know, that we got the island. When we arrived there, they were still flying the British flag. We brought the British flag down, we hoisted up the American flag, we took over the island. And all it was just an atoll in which all the thing that grew there were coconut trees. And there was the copra industry, which the British had. The reason they had these islands is to produce coconut palm trees and coconuts and get the oil from the coconuts. And outside of that, there were only goonie birds and crabs. That's the only animals that you'll find there. The goonie birds were like a seagull, only about 3 or 4 times larger. They had huge wings. And when they got up in the air, it darkened up the sky. That's how many there were. And the problem we had with them is that they would they do their nesting on the runways. We couldn't keep them off the runways, no matter what we did. And they were all over. I mean, there was millions of goonie birds on the island. They were a real nuisance, I'll tell you. And the crabs were also a nuisance because they run off with our shoes and our underwear, and they make round holes on them. They had like scissors. They cut holes. And they had a lagoon. The lagoons that were, we were supposed to get into these lagoons because we lost one of our boys there. He got hit by a stingaree, and his leg got infected, and they amputated him, but eventually the poison got through his body and he died. And when I got there, there were only 7 little crosses in the burial ground. And I was there for about eight months or so. And I don't know, it was one day when I was there with the Major Seacat. I was working in the underground CP command post and making maps. He would write up a plan, the defense of the island, and he had 2 or 3 lines of defense on the island, and I had to put those on the board, the big board, and show the movement of what we were going to do during the attack, how to defend the island. But there wasn't much hope. We were just The only thing we feared, actually, on the island, it wasn't that we'd be attacked by Japan. What we feared most was a tsunami, because we were only about, I would say, about 4 or 5 feet above sea level. The highest hill was Joe's Hill, was 20 feet above mean sea level. That was the highest point. And when it rained, we had some terrible storms, you know, tropical storms, lightning all over the place. And we would build our tents. We put these stumps from the coconut trees, the palm trees. We put these stumps on the ground, just like a table like you have here. Mm-hmm. And then our tent would be a board like that, and then the canvas over it, accommodating 4 people, 4 cots.
A raised tent.
Yeah. Because when you get these storms, we had water up to our knees. Up to our knees. So it was place was completely flooded at times. And it was very windy and lightning. And the thing about the beauty of the place was in the evenings, the sunsets. I never seen such beautiful sunsets. So reds and yellows and blues and purples and all colors, just like a painting. Beautiful colors, Christmas. Then they bombed, you know, they dropped an atom bomb on the island after the war.
Oh, the same one that was when you did the testing for the...
Testing. And they took all the inhabitants off the island, and they were, you know, they were protesting and very irate about that. But I don't know what happened to these people. Eventually, I hear their cruises now. They go there to Christmas Island. They take people on tours.
Yeah, and I think also they even have diving expeditions for, like, truck, you know, where they have all the ships that were sunk.
Yeah.
As well. So then did you participate in any battles where even ships that were in pretty
no,
much here?
No,
not everybody
that,
was.
Well, because I was, when in Christmas Island, the Captain Sea Cat thought that I'd make a good pilot, because I saved his life one time going around a bend or something.
Yeah.
The Jeep was about to tip over, and I was able to spin my wheels in the direction of the spin, and I brought the darn thing down. And anyway, they thought that was great, you know. And they said, well, we got an opening to ship you over to the 60th CTD, which was, at first they just sent me from Christmas Island to Hawaii on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there they put me on a ship, and we went back to the States. And as we had it was a Dutch ship, and the captain used to make the torpedo dodges all the way on the way over there. And just in the evening, so they couldn't see where our trash was being dumped, he would give the order. He said, "Dump the garbage." Just like that. And that stuck in everybody's mind, you know. At 7 o'clock, it was dumped the garbage until we got back to the mainland. And just as we were going to cross under the Golden Gate Bridge, everybody shouted, "Dumped the garbage!" And then the captain thought that was very funny, you know. And he talked to us. He says, "We wish you well and everything. You're back in the States. You're very fortunate," so on. And the prettiest sight we saw was the girls. That was I can't tell you what it was, what I felt like when I saw. We hadn't seen women in a long time, and they looked like goddesses or something. Every one of them was so gorgeous, and that's our feeling about the human, the humanity in us, anyway.
I mean, you saw so much, from the horror to the beauty to the wildness of nature, and then being isolated.
Isolated.
You didn't have
another thing. I had a desire to see color. Everything was all in drab and drab. Everything didn't have any color except nature. Mm-hmm. But when you saw a nice looking dress or like that, would really turn you on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me over here.